Oops. I had a...
Hello?
I don't know why my voice sounds not... Oh, I guess it's... No, the... Never mind. This is Madge. I'm a lesbian. I'm a lesbian. Oops. Am I? Did I just stop the music? Oh, well. Oh, yeah, I did. Well, let's see.
And I'm too hip.
Not that Christ can't come.
I like it in the butt.
No. I don't think this is it either. All right, forever. Just till I get our guest. Whatever. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I was playing Sylvia because there was nothing on.
Oh, Sylvia.
I'm already recording. This is Madge Weinstein with a yeast. And I have my guest, Michael Harrant. It's early for me. It's only 9 a.m.
Sarids.
Griselda's texting me. What does she want? She was having a... Oh, my God, is he ugly. She was having breakfast. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. She was having... Oh, my God, is he fucking...
Who are you talking about? Oh, what am I missing?
Well, Griselda's having a breakfast with somebody we... It's really ugly. And he just got a facelift. I've talked about him on the show before. He's just unfathomably... I can't even say it. He's hideous. Let me see if I can send this to you because it's on my telephone. I think I can do it on the Facebook. Let me just see here. Let's see. Fortunately, we have Sylvia in the background. Sylvia Brown. Hold on. I'm going to do this. This is important. Oh, let's see here. Wait, where is it? Oh, I have to put it in my photo album first. Do you have an iPhone?
I do. Oh, yeah. And I think I'm subscribed to some of your feeds.
That's naughty. You mean some of Wanda Wisdom's feeds?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
I think that's what you mean. Pretty sure.
That's what I mean. I gotta go. This is too hard.
Hold on. I have to send you this picture. It's worth the wait. Trust me. Let's see. She's talking about Sylvia Brown's talking about her ovaries, and it's early already. Sorry. Let's see. I should know how to do this by now. Ah, there. It's okay, Shelley. Oh, oops, I accidentally gave out half of his name. Let's see. Okay, now when I send you this picture, I need you to zoom in on his face and check out the rather... it looks like he's wearing a hairnet.
Is it?
Look at that face.
Hold on. Hold on.
Take your time.
I do so many magisms in my day-to-day life, and I don't realize it until I'm actually talking to you.
So do I.
Well, you are Madge. You're supposed
to. I know, but I only try to limit them to my head in my podcast. I try not to talk that way in real life, because then I feel like I have none, which is probably true.
So now I'm looking at the picture.
What about that face?
What happened?
He got a facelift. He's a very ugly person.
He looks like Peppa.
Yeah, he does. Let me just tell, I have the Twixt, whatever you call the voice thing with the text, voice to text. Rachel said I'm not allowed to, oh my God, is he ugly.
Rachel really, said, it's ugly. He's not a listener, I presume.
No, he's just a very wealthy person who we should, probably makes more money every day than we will make in a year combined. I get stage fright with Siri. Do you ever do that? I'm like, oh.
Yeah, when it comes on, like.
Yeah.
She's very judgmental, like, that Siri.
And I'll, like, be talking, and I forget what I'm going to say, like, because I'm old and senile, and then she'll beep, like, oh, you've had enough time to talk, young. Like, not everybody's young and spry. Okay. The facelift did not work, period. Okay. All right. So anyway, so Michael Herring, you're my guest. See, what happened is you're a musical artist. I know that's not really, what, that's not really, that doesn't sound right, musical artist. I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
How would you describe what you do?
I don't know. I kept trying to say performance artist, but that, like, brings to mind something entirely different, too. So I make, like...
Yeah, I think of women sitting on ice cubes.
Yeah. And it's, like, performance art is more than that, but I think, like, just people will hear, like...
Sorry.
Like, moss and vaginas and stuff.
So how would you describe it then?
Electroacoustic storytelling with songs. Like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, no matter what I say to try to condense it, it sounds like pretentiousness.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, well, that's good.
No, that doesn't sound, that just sounds descriptive. Electro, yeah, so, what was it? Electro what? Say it again.
Well, I'm going with electroacoustic because I'm writing music with computers and acoustic instruments.
Okay.
And then storytelling is kind of the text part of that. And then there's also songs, which are just songs.
Yeah, I don't think that's pretentious at all. Why would that be pretentious?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just scared. I'm frightened.
If you use the word postmodern or maybe performative, then I would say yes.
Well, I'm trying to think. What's the other one? I used to always say visceral.
Yeah. Or that's not that bad. But if you, I don't think visceral is that bad. But if you said, like, anything with the juxtaposition or, you know what I mean, postmodern. Yeah. I already said postmodern. Oh, that word, what that means, stealing, but it's really, artists can do it because it's a better word. You know, it's like when they use something and incorporate it into their work. There's a word for that. You know what I mean? Like a postmodern thing, like basically borrowing, stealing.
I don't.
Oh, what is that word? You know what I'm talking about.
I think.
That thing.
I can't think of any words right now.
I know. It's horrible. Did you have your coffee?
I did. I was going to make some more, but then I didn't. I've been up for a while. I always wake up really early.
Oh, good. I have to start waking up early, too. Next week, I start this class where I have to be downtown Chicago at 7:45 a.m. every day.
Wow.
For 9 weeks, including weekends. Oh, my God. It's going to be horrible. It's like this class for children, you know, for like 20-year-olds, but I ain't that.
Mm-hmm. How long is it to commute to downtown Chicago from
where? Well, about, according to Google, it takes 34 minutes to where I'm going, but according to my fat, 45 minutes. And then I come in and I'm sweaty, because I did a test drive yesterday, I was just sweaty, and these people are looking at me like, what are you?
Are you riding on a bike? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually faster than taking public trannies. Do you have, you had a song you did, but that wasn't part of this, because that was a regular song. That wasn't like, you weren't doing storytelling.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like, there's a show that I wrote, like, it's, all of this is so weird, because just in the past year have I decided, like, I'm really going to go ahead and be a solo artist. Mm-hmm. So it feels, I still have this sense, like, oh, I'm just playing this little game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I made a show, and that song that I just released is actually the last song in the show. So it's part of all of that.
Oh, I didn't know that was from the show.
Yeah. But
okay.
Yeah, it's after this whole like 15-minute piece. Like, it's so weird that I'm making these things that I've always, like, I don't know.
That you've always wanted.
It's like a 15-minute text piece talking about.
You've made these things that you started to say, you make these things that you've always what?
Always wanted to do. Like, you know, that I've always wanted to make work like this, and for whatever sort of nonsense reasons I've been making up, I haven't been doing it until now. So now I'm doing it. It just feels very surreal.
So it was like in the back of your head, but you never actually did it.
Yeah. And I would often like write down little ideas and and then just abandon them just as soon as the poor little things were written down. So it's nice. I did like my first performance of original work last April, and it was it went really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it on you have it on YouTube, or at least part of it, right?
Yeah, part of it is on YouTube. Like some of it, since I'm still a teacher, is sort of not something Risk little Quang. Kids' parents probably want to know about me.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you teach?
Music.
For Chili's.
Do what?
For Chili's.
For the cheer rent, for little tiny little babies, preschool kids and under. And then I teach piano to older kids too.
Mm-hmm. So you do have these available on YouTube or not? I'm confused.
Yeah, some so there are three little clips available on YouTube. One is a live version of that song that I just released as a single. Mm-hmm. And then one is that mango piece, which probably is the one that you saw.
Yeah.
And then another one is just like a string piece. It's a cellist and a viola player with me doing keyboard, piano, percussion, like Ableton loops and stuff.
Okay. And what? How do you find those? Just look at your name on the YouTube or what?
Yeah, I think right. you could. And then right. you could go to michaelherron.com, and I have a video page which has those linked there.
Well, that's certainly easier.
Yeah, I try to consolidate everything right there.
So what happened is the reason I kind of wanted to have you on the show, Grim, is because, I was thinking to myself, I got an email from Ableton because I use it. You know, I use Ableton. I've been using it since version 4. I use it for live. I think I started in 2005, but I've never really used the anywhere close to the real capabilities of it. I just use it to play, you know, retarded things over and over. I got an email because I'm on version 8 now. They have a version 9 out. And I was, you know, I saw, oh, it's, this email is advertising version 9. I'm like, oh, get it. It'll be so great for you. And I thought, well, I'll write Mikey Pod to ask if you, because Mikey Pod was your podcast name. Before that, you were Mikey Pop on the Live Journal, but that's not even relevant.
Oh, and, poor Live Journal.
poor Cobalt Blue and her fetus named Gabriel. flashback. Anyway. She's listening right now.
She might be. We're actually still friends on Facebook.
No shit. Oh, yeah. You shouldn't tell me that. I can't even. Oh, God, no. Oh, God. Poor Cheryl. All right. So
Cheryl.
So so I thought, well, I should ask you to see, you know, if you like this new version. And then I thought, well, I might as well have this conversation on the program because I never talk about the technical aspect of the show because it's so horrible. And you know, so I thought it would be a good sort of way into that.
Yeah. You're the first person I ever heard even mention Ableton.
Yeah, it was pretty obscure when I started using it. I didn't see anybody. Now I see people on the bus using it.
Yeah, it's such a great software. I don't have that much experience with other digital audio workstations.
Yeah.
Just like a little here and there with Cubase and like GarageBand, of course. But that whole Session View, I think it's called. Since I've been learning it by myself, I don't know the official names of a lot of things. View, where you have all those clips.
Mm-hmm.
Clips.
The Session View, yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I don't think any other software has. It's really great.
I haven't seen it. And the funny thing is it was hard. At first I thought, this looks so junky because it came with a keyboard I bought, I think. I bought some shit. I bought some like Korg keyboard or something. Keyboard, and it came with it. And I thought, well, this looks just like, you know how like shit comes with a lot of software and usually it's crap. So I'm like, well, this looks like crap. But I started playing with it and it looked fun. I mean, it was useful. And now it's funny because the interface looks exactly the same as it did. It still looks crappy.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I try using the different like layouts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you can do different coloring and everything. Yeah. It all looks sort of corny.
Well, it's kind of like Avid for video because they don't really, like a long time ago before user interfaces were standard, everything kind of had its own user interface. Like now the Mac is all like clean lines and they have all these APIs where everything looks the same. You know, drop-down menus look the same. But before that, people made software for multiple platforms and it looked the same only for that particular software. And applications like Live and Avid still do that. So it the advantage of this is if you have it on a PC, it looks exactly the same, almost exactly. Not that that matters.
Does my voice suddenly sound really weird?
No.
Okay, yours does.
Really?
Yeah, I just opened Ableton, and my software, my interface fucks everything up.
Because...
So now your voice is like ultra low and slowed down.
Oh, it probably has to do with the sample rate. It must have changed somehow. If you probably go into preferences and change the sample rate, that might fix it.
Let's see.
Because I bet that's what it is. Because sometimes Ableton will override the sample rate of the system, you know, depending on which interface you're using. So, do you use a different...
Yeah, okay.
Did it work?
Yeah, I actually just reopened Ableton to adjust that, and then it just fixed itself. Okay. I don't know why that happens. It makes me really angry.
Didn't you... you use a... What kind of interface? Because
it's a MicroBook Mark of the Unicorn.
Mo 2.
I kind of like... It's the second version of it. The first one I sort of hated, and this new version I hate even more. And I shouldn't have bought it.
Okay, wait a second. I got to Google. This is totally geeky now. Nobody's going to hear this, but I don't care. Let's see. So, Mo 2. Which one do you have?
It's called the MicroBook.
Micro. Because I've used... I have the same one I used in 2005, and I still use it. I still like it a lot.
And it's Mo 2, though, also,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I
have the Ultralight MK2. Now, for a brief time before that, I had like the big... It wasn't called the Ultralight, but it was like the big version of it.
Yeah.
But then I realized I could never travel with that, so I got the smaller one because they had just released it. Let's see. MicroBook 2. Uh-huh. Okay, well, it has 3 stars on Amazon. There you go. That should have told you right there.
You know, like my old MicroBook, the first one started getting fried right as I was getting ready for this show. April, and it was my first time to do like this whole laptop keyboard whatever thing I was doing. So I was like, I freaked out, and I was just like, I don't like this MicroBook, but I know how to use it. So I went with the MicroBook 2, which is like twice as annoying and shitty.
Why do you hate it?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that happens. That whole thing where it just randomly will switch. Sampling rate, and it happened one time in between when I had edited. I recorded a podcast interview, and then at some point before I edited that podcast, the sample rate switched, and I could never fix the original recording because it got all fast. You know, like it pitched up, I guess, a quarter tone or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens, and it's just I had to. To get my headphones to work, I had to install, like, set up some other, I can't remember what it's called, a multi-device output.
Oh, my God, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so I have to switch back and forth between there's a lot involved. Like, I have to open the audio MIDI preferences on my computer and then switch back and forth between MIDI output device multi-output device and then the MicroBook 2 as my device. And then, like, the levels are changing strangely, and it's just...
That's weird. Now, you know, there is a shortcut for that. To change your audio device, you can just hold down the option key and press that little speaker icon in the system tray above, and then it lets you switch audio devices there.
What? I did not know that. So, did you say option in that speaker?
Yeah. See that? And then you see your different choices for audio device.
Wait, what little speaker are we talking about?
You know, like when you raise the volume, it has a little picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the top.
Oh, there it is.
You don't see?
What? Okay, that's really good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been... Mm-mm.
Yeah. So a lot of, like, secret options you have on the Mac when you press down the option key on different things like that.
Oh, cool.
What are those dials for on it? It says digital encoders push and turn. What the fuck does that mean? It says the two digital rotary encoders not only look good, they feel good too.
Huh? They don't feel good.
What the fuck does that mean?
I've tried them on all different parts of my body and they don't feel good anywhere.
Oh, well, what are they supposed to do?
Well, one set, I really hate this thing. It's just making me angry to talk about it.
Yeah.
The one on the left controls like the mic input.
Mm-hmm.
And the one on the right controls your level, like your output, which...
So they're just levels, basically.
Yeah, but you have to...
Oh.
You push them in different combinations to, like, turn on phantom power to the mic or...
They're like menuing dumb things.
Too. Yeah. And then the software... Mm-hmm. Do you have to use the QMix software with yours?
I do, but I don't really use it. I just have it. Like, I only use it... I use the QMix software if I want to configure my interface to be used without the computer. For example, like sometimes I want to use the interface as just an amplifier for, say, an iPhone. So I'll have one input for the, you know, for the attached to the iPhone, then I have the monitor speakers and I just want it to go direct. So I don't have to have the computer hooked up. So I use it to configure, like, you know, those kinds of routings. But in general, no, I don't use it. I usually just leave it away. I usually just set it up and then go. The problem is if I screw up one of the settings, I never remember how I set it up because I only do it like once in every blue moon.
Yeah.
What? Why, you have a baby now?
Was that my cat?
That was weird. It sounded like a child.
What's going on, boo? Oh, he's about to puke.
Oh, that's great.
He's actually been really good about not vomiting lately, but...
Well.
You know, they do. Oh, he's doing that whole thing with the head, like,
is it a hairball?
I don't know.
He's not sick, is he?
I don't. Sometimes he just really eats a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know how that goes.
Oh, there we go. We got it out. Oh, I can take a picture of that if you want to use it for Walmart.
That's quite all right.
You good?
Oh, on Guitar Center, it has 5 stars.
People really like this Motu stuff, and I feel like, I don't know.
Maybe you have something wrong in your system, but I doubt it. Usually, like when I've had problems like that, usually it's like I used to use before this briefly. I used that Mbox stuff or whatever. What is that brand?
M Audio.
Yeah, and that stuff was such crap. Like I had those kinds of problems. I was like, fuck this. Wait a second. But did you check for new firmware updates and all that crap?
Yeah, yeah.
No. Okay. I want to just look at their products.
I was even on the phone with them for a long time. I have to say their customer support is pretty good. Because I called all irate, and there was a thing that I was going back. I can't remember what it was. And then while I was on the phone with a guy and like being a total biatch about the whole thing, I realized I had plugged the outputs of the MacBook into the inputs of the MacBook. So it was totally my idiotic fault.
What a moron.
So it's totally a moron thing to do. And I was being a dick about how their equipment sucked.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing. Well, maybe it's your fault now, then.
I am open to that being true.
So if you look on their website, I have the closest thing I have to what they have now is the Ultralight MK3 hybrid. I have the Ultralight MK2, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
The difference is the one I have uses FireWire, and I still feel like FireWire is better for some reason. Like, it just feels more stable than the USB. Maybe it's a USB thing, because I just think USB is annoying.
I think FireWire would be better for me, too, because when, like, doing MIDI always has, like, the slightest delay. Like, if I play something on my keyboard and I want, like, a synth in Ableton to play, there's the tiniest little delay that's really not noticeable. I wonder if FireWire would get rid of that.
Probably not. There's always a slight delay with these things. I just learned for it not to bother me. I actually like when there's more of a delay because it makes me talk slower and more lesbian and Jewish. Let's see. I want to see what's different about this one. I need pictures. Ultralight MK3. But the problem is everything is like without FireWire, all the Macs now. So I feel like someday I'm going to have to switch to like USB.
I can't remember if mine has FireWire at all. It's the Mac before the iMac before the current one.
Yeah, it should.
I know it has that like Thunderbolt.
It should, yeah. So it looks the same. The only difference I see is that it does have the FireWire 400 and the USB. Mine just has FireWire. And it has... higher sample rate, maximum 192. Mine goes up to 9600. But usually I only record at 4400 or 1000 or whatever it is because, you know, my shows are so long that my recordings can only go so far. At the higher the sample rate, the shorter the file size you can use. Like the maximum file size, like, can only be up to like 4 gigabytes or something. So I have to use.
Oh, I gotcha.
Not that it matters. Like, I mean, I don't think it matters if Cheryl is recorded at, you know, 44 versus 96. What do you use for that?
I always use 44 because that's CD quality, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm like, that's good enough.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of all of that nonsense about switching things back and forth with my sample rate on my computer and in Ableton, I just sort of settled like, okay, everything's staying put here, so I'm going to leave it.
Yeah.
For the most part, anyway.
Do you use the warping and all that sort of thing?
I do, and it's really great. I just used it to do a remix. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm supposed to say, and it's not like any massive artist, but my friend is doing a remix thing. I don't think he's announced it yet.
Okay.
But his song had like weird sort of wonky tempos, and I wanted to even it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it with that warping. It's really great.
How did you do it? Can you describe it? Because I don't really do it right, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
So, I found a tutorial video, actually. If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
Oh, please,
by this woman
that.
Who I wound up seeing. I've been going to these Ableton meetups here in New York, and they have performances at them, and it's really cool. And but this woman performed at it. She was a better teacher than she was a musician, I'll have to say. But she did really interesting stuff. Like, she had a Wii controller, like, connected to her Ableton somehow, so it was triggering, like, MIDI signals.
I have a friend, Tim Pritlove in Berlin, has the same setup. He showed it to me.
It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what I was just doing. Oh, I was telling you about warping.
You were going to tell me who this lady is with the videos.
Okay, let me. Do you want me to? I keep forgetting. This is the Yeast Radio. I can take my time.
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
So let me see. I think I favorited it or something.
I'm reading about the Ultralight MK3 still, so the audience can read along with me.
We all, like, everybody I know needs money to be given to them. Like, that's one of the things. I'm like, I can't afford to buy a new interface right now.
What about credit cards?
Yeah. Like I said.
Didn't you get a push? A push? I wanted to ask about that.
I'm on the waiting list to get a push.
A push.
So that's going to be interesting because I thought, like, I had money in my bank account. I was like, oh, I'll buy it right now. Like, completely ignoring the fact that I probably shouldn't spend it on that. But they didn't take the money out of my account. They'll take it out when the push.
Oh, yeah. So it's like free then.
Well, except that I don't have it. I mean, it feels free right now, except for like that money is going to come out.
What is the push? Is, other than like a control surface, what is it that's special?
I like the fact that those little buttons are velocity sensitive or touch sensitive.
Uh-huh.
So you can play it like an instrument.
Okay. So are those like keys on MIDI keys or how do they translate?
Yeah, so you can use them like as, you know, how do you have an MPC whatever?
A who?
The APC 40. It's like a...
No, I don't. I only use the... I know what that is. I only use the iPad, the Touch OSC now on the iPad.
Oh, cool.
I used to have a Behringer controller with the rotorized faders, which I loved, but it broke and I never replaced it. That was the best. Man. That was yeah.
Well, with like I have the APC 40 and you can use all those buttons on the front to trigger different clips or the scenes of clips and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then assign those knobs to, you know, different settings.
Mm-hmm.
So the push does that kind of better. But I don't, like, I'm saying that with a question mark because I don't know it well enough to be able to say that's necessarily true. But then you can also switch it so that it uses you can use all of those buttons to trigger, like, MIDI synths and stuff. And they'll light up. You can assign, like, a C major scale to it and only the buttons will light up that fit into that scale.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
cool.
You can, like, for me, it'd be really interesting because I write on the keyboard so much, like on a piano keyboard. It would be an interesting way to kind of get out of habits I have with writing.
Yeah.
To maybe, you know, because a lot of times my hands are like, oh, D major, we like it here. But like it'd be a fully different thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. That is a neat feature.
Yeah, and they light up. They like, and lights are pretty. And you can also, like, if you have a row of clips a certain color in Ableton, then yeah. on the push they'll be that same color. So like when I was doing the show, when I was having to like flip, I had all of those songs in one big Ableton project,
yeah.
and I had to like sort of click through so that the lights, the grid of the controller matched what grid I wanted to have access to in Ableton. So it was a little clumsy.
Or what controller were you using in the show?
That APC.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah. So it works great, but you had it was a little tricky. I had to remember like, okay, three clicks right, one click down to get me to the next group of things that I need. But if I had all of those like colored purple, I could just click over to the purple ones. It'd be a little easier.
Racist. But did you have you tried the Touch OSC on the iPad yet?
I've used it just a little bit. This guy, Adam Rockshire, who I just took a Max for Live class with, he did it online.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the presenters at that Ableton thing I went to here. And he sent out some Max for Live devices that he made that link iPhone to Ableton, and it uses yeah. Touch OSC.
Right.
So I plugged all that in, and then I hadn't taken this class yet, so I got it to work, but I was like, I don't know what to do with this now.
Well, I know how
but
to get
basically,
it.
Basically, like, go ahead.
No, you.
It uses that program that he has, and it's available on his site too. It uses the, what's that thing called? The thing inside the iPhone that tells you which way it's going.
What?
I want to say oscilloscope, but that's not right.
Velocity thingamajig?
Yeah, so it uses that. So you can use like tilting your phone to control filters or triggering clips or any of that kind of stuff. It links through Touch OSC. So anyway,
okay.
I barely use Touch OSC.
I use the Touch OSC, and then I use something called Live Control, which is just sort of like an in-between kind of interface that you load on the Mac. And that allows and then there's another thing. It's kind of a bitch to set up, actually. It takes me sometimes a day when I screw something up, which happened recently. But you have to put the special MIDI interface inside the Live program, which is weird because it should be there. You know how it has like setups for all these different controllers? Well, Live Control is not one of them, so you have to stick it in there manually. And so then that allows the iPod to talk to, or iPad to talk to the Live. So then, once it's finally set up, you just have a picture on your iPad that looks exactly like the arrangement view or the session view with all the little clips and their names, and you just press them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. You know. So
I'm going to make a note of that.
The only problem is you have to, you know, it kind of abbreviates the names, but it's not bad. The colors are still the same. So, like if I say, like, dearest asthma, like with this clip, it'll actually be, like, D-R-S-T-S-M-A or some weird. It's like Hebrew. It just takes the vowels out or something. But it's still much better for, I think, for what you're trying to do.
What's the name of that app again?
Well, the app is just Touch OSC. That's the iPad app. So it's just that's just sort of the generic app.
Oh, and you said it's Live Control is like the setting within it? Is that
Live Control is the interface that you use that you install on the Mac. It's called Live Control, but you want Live Control version 1, not version 2. Version 2 is totally different. It's for like some other shit that I don't understand.
Okay.
And then I can help you set it up if you when you actually get to that, because it's you don't want to have to go through the same shit that I went through. And at least since I've done it recently, it's kind of fresh in my mind, but it's a huge bitch. And it's like one of these kind of hackish kind of things that hasn't been quite worked out.
Because yeah.
I don't know why, because I think people don't like to share stuff.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Some of that, I'd love to be able to move around.
Yeah.
And trigger things without having to stand like at my keyboard and all that stuff.
It's really good for that. And you can also use it, you know, it has many views, so you can control, you know, a particular instrument with it on a different view. You can control your faders on a different view. And you can design your own if you want to, too. Like, if you have a special, like, controller just for you or an instrument you create, you can do that.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I'm really interested in learning about this warping thing because I've always sucked at it. Like, for me, it's just hit or miss, especially because I'd like to do it on the fly, and I like to say, okay, I want to take this song and mix it with this. It's really hard to do on the fly because I find that the warps, the automatic warping, it seems to never really work the way I want it to, or rarely. Do you find that? Do you have to set up the warping markers yourself? Or what?
Like, I think what helps is if you, like what I did with this last song is I found exactly where the first beat started,
mm-hmm.
and put a marker there. And if you right click, it gives you like, tap in the tempo.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like pretty much the same tempo. And then I need to find this for you because this lady explained it pretty well.
It's warp from here. Is that what you press?
Yeah, warp from here at whatever tempo you have set. And that works pretty well. You kind of have to go in and adjust some things.
Where do you set the tempo? In the clip or in the top main view thing?
In the top main view thing. And if you tap it in, that's what I was like tapping it. So I got kind of a general idea from the recording. You know, I play the recording and tap along with the beat.
So you're tapping the master beat. Oops, that's yeah. Weird. You're tapping the master beat, but can't you just? I guess I don't understand then. Why does each clip have its own beat thing then? You know what I mean?
Because
it has if you go to each clip, it says segment BPM. You can change that, but then there's the BPM at the top left.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's that little biatch's name? I don't think
I still don't get why you tap it in, because if you tap it in, then isn't that just going to change the master beat, not the clip? Or then you must type it into the clip then or something, right?
I adjusted the beat first and then click warp so that the metronome clicks were pretty close to the beat so that I could.
Oh.
I don't remember why I did that. Now that I'm explaining that, I'm not exactly sure why you have to do it that way. I think it just helps. Oh, I know why I did it that way. Because then when you look at it, you can kind of see where the transients are. And if you need to drag them over, you can see, you know, with the grid.
What's a transient? Helps.
Transients are like the high points in the audio. You know, the little peaks that you see. So a lot of times that'll be like a kick drum or a snare or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you kind of a guideline of what beat needs to be where.
Okay, so I'm trying to get an idea of your workflow. So regardless of why. Okay, so if you have something, you want to warp it. So you play it, you tap it in the upper left so you see what the beat is. And then do you take that beat and put it under in the actual clip itself and type the clip, the beat in there? Or do you just do the warp?
No, you don't have to do that at all. It just gives you, when you right-click mm-hmm. The warp from here, I'm opening a clip now so I can see if I can see exactly what that option mm-hmm. is. I think like you would, it says warp, like this thing I'm looking at is 77 BPM.
Mm-hmm.
So it says warp 77 BPM from here. I'm pretty sure that's the one I did.
Okay, where does it say 77 in the upper left?
It just in the option for like, so you right click on one of those transient markers.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the drop down that comes up, it says warp from here. Warp from here start at 77 BPM. Warp from here straight. Warp 77 BPM from here. I'm pretty sure that's the choice I use.
Oh, because that's the one, it's going to start at whatever BPM is in the upper left, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Here, let me, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to send you this video.
So if you're warp, it really doesn't look at the transients. It's just looking at the, it's just warping according to whatever beats per minute you sent it.
I think it uses both. I think it uses the transients. And like, I'm saying that out loud and thinking I'm making that up. So I don't know.
So what's the point of auto warping then?
Well, I think auto warping gets you in the ballpark sometimes. But if it's something that doesn't have a real clear beat in the recording, you know, like if there aren't a lot of transients, I think that's where live starts kind of screwing up and it doesn't know exactly what to do.
Because if you warp it, and it's not quite right, doesn't that actually make it harder to warp it than if you just like do it with the way you're describing, the right click and warp?
Well, if it's really off, yes. But like with this thing, I was trying to correct his like slowing down and speeding up. mm-hmm. which I like. Correct isn't probably the right word because I don't think he wanted it to be precise. But there were places where he was off, and you can those little yellow transient markers that show up.
Yeah.
You can get rid of those really easily.
Yeah.
And create a new one where you feel like. Like, if there's a word that I felt like needed to be on beat one, mm-hmm. but it was a little before, you could, like, tap that little, I think they're called, like...
The yellow things.
Yeah, before they turn yellow, they're just little gray, like... Oh, they're called pseudo-transient markers, I think.
Okay.
So those pop up, and if you want one of those to stay, you just click it.
Well,
so it's just estimating where it thinks, like, you might want to change something.
I'm putting this video on the favorites. It's a DubSpot Ableton Live tutorial if anybody wants to Google that.
Yeah, and it's Laura Esquede, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's a violinist, and that's the woman that I saw.
Uh huh.
So she does like live violin playing, and then she's triggering all her crazy stuff with her.
You know that band? I used to play them on my show a lot, Final Fantasy. It's not a band, it's really just a guy. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he uses live, and it's all done like in real time using foot controls, from what I understand.
That's, and you know who, Gavin Castleton, I talk about him a lot. He does like live looping videos with like the pedals, and he's a keyboard player too, but he did a cover of, Nothing Compares to You. That was really good. And also Sledgehammer, both like where he just videoed himself doing it with several cameras. And if you turn on the notations on the video, it tells you what he's triggering with each thing. He's cool.
But the cameras were just that separate. That was just to document it, you mean, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
integrated into the production.
No, they were just there for the filming.
Okay. So then what about this Ableton Max or whatever it is? I mean, it's not Ableton, whatever it is, Max controller, Max. I don't understand what that is at all.
So I took this class and I have a better understanding of it. But it's like, it's really in depth. It's basically like... coding new instruments. So it's basically like, you know, you can take an audio effect and drop it onto a track in Ableton.
Yeah, sure.
Or an instrument. It's basically designing your own like audio effects, or I'm sure you can do synth stuff and like controllers. So some of the stuff we did, it's really weird. It's fun, but it's a lot of like graphic little things connecting to each other. So the design is basically as if you were connecting cables from one item to another.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things we did in the class were making, I can't remember what they were called, but it's basically a device that would respond to like the volume of another track. So like I could put it on a drum track and say when this drum track is loud, make some filter drop down, you know, so it mm-hmm. affects the sound of one track would affect another track.
Oh, wow.
So it's really cool. It's one of those things I wanted to know about, but it's also like a whole huge world of learning crazy stuff.
That's kind of, it sounds like where I'm at with the programming. Like I'm learning a lot about particular things I can do, like how to program things. What I'm not getting is what on earth I would use it for.
Right.
And that's where I'm at. But I understand that sounds very interesting because there's something like that I've used in Apple's Motion, the video effects software, where you can take a MIDI After Effects. In Motion, you can take a MIDI and map it to video effects, which isn't really all that, you know, difficult to conceptualize. But in After Effects, you can have these kind of weird things trigger each other. Like, for example, if you have, let's say you have a sound effect and you want the sound effect to vibrate the video, like an earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
Which I actually used in I Love Lesbian, even though like three people watched it, but, you know. Like when God was talking, I had the light. I wanted it to vibrate. And it was like really hard. You'd think it would be simple to get like the screen to vibrate like somebody's talking and shaking. And that way you can map it. It sounds similar to that. Or you can just, I think it sounds like the challenge would be trying to figure out applications for it, though there would be a zillion, I imagine.
Yeah. And that, I mean, with all, even just Ableton minus the whole Max aspect,
mm-hmm.
it's really, it's great to have all that technology and all of those possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I find myself overwhelmed by all of it and going down that rabbit hole of just playing with things mm-hmm. and not actually creating like a song.
Wow, but that's very useful though, to play with things.
Oh, that's definitely true.
It is. I mean, it's different than like wasting your time on Facebook. I mean, that's a waste of time, which I do all the time. But to play with the software,
that's true. Is that funny? Like, I'll waste hours on Facebook and not even think about
exactly.
it. But I just wasted all that time just playing around with Ableton.
Yeah.
Well, I learned some new stuff, so that's good.
I know, like this week, like, you know, I have like one more week of prep time. I've done a lot of preparation for this thing, and then my ex-boss, the fat one, he's like, can you do one more video for me? And I get paid for it, whatever. I'm like, no, I'm too busy. But then I'm like, you know, like last night I just watched 3 episodes of House of Cards. Like, what's that then?
It's like, yeah.
I don't even like the show. It's just stupid. But anyway. But so, okay, so that thing that I told you about, that live control, that is written in Max for Live.
Oh, yeah.
Or Max. I don't even know the difference. I don't even know how, but it said that somewhere.
So Max is like, Max originally was just its own thing, and it still is, but the companies worked together to develop this Max for Live software that actually is integrated. So now Max is integrated within Ableton.
But is it a limited version of Max, or is it the same deal?
I think there are certain things that the full version of Max can do that mm-hmm. Max for Live doesn't.
Does it have a programming language, like a scripting built in too? Or
it does, but it's a really weird, like, and I don't understand about scripting or coding, so I might not be telling you the right thing. But basically, it does have its own language, and he kept referring to it as that in the class, and that it is like a coding thing.
Where'd you take this class? Guitar Center or something? Or?
No, it was online. I met this guy at that Ableton meetup, and his music is really interesting, and I saw him do that iPhone thing, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
And the class was like, it was just 3 weeks, and it was $80 to take it online.
Hmm. Was Rachel Kahn the teacher?
She wasn't. But she uses Ableton too. Yeah,
she does, yeah. And she does have an APC 40 as well.
That Rachel Kahn. It took me a long time to kind of get it with her, but now I'm like, oh my God, I love her.
Well, she's very annoying, but her performance stuff is amazing. Like, you would never think. It's like this whole other spirit takes over that is not annoying. And when she does perform live in particular, it's nothing like what you would imagine from listening to her talk and, you know, use a lot of catchphrases like, is that a thing? You know what I mean? She loves to like catch, ironically, of course, use these catchphrases, but that doesn't make them any less annoying. Like literally every 5 seconds. But yeah, but she uses it. So I'm just, okay, so I'm going to look into that. So what was version 9 a worthwhile upgrade from version 8?
I think so.
Why?
I haven't really played with a lot of the new stuff, but what I love is the whole directory is laid out a lot.
Oh, it has
more.
A whole directory?
A whole directory.
No, what is it? Sorry.
The directory is, I think, laid out in a lot better way. I found the old way really confusing.
Directory of what?
Well, you know, when you open that thing on the left and you like go through all of your different instruments and effects and all that.
Uh-huh.
It's laid out more intuitively. It still feels a little awkward and confusing to me, and I almost want to like pay somebody to teach me how to use it better.
Are you talking about for devices and instruments?
Yeah.
And or for clips and looking in your own files or what?
All of that. All of that.
I find it difficult for files. I don't find it difficult for like the instruments and the effects, probably because I don't really use that much of them. But it seems, I don't know, I never really noticed it being a problem, except when you search, it's so goddamn slow.
Yeah. So now, like, things are just grouped more. Like, so if you're looking at instruments,
mm-hmm.
they're, instead of having to, like, if all the sounds are grouped in one thing, and you can also go to the instrument. So if, like, all the, operator and sampler and all that stuff used to only be available separately. So if you wanted a drum sound, you'd have to open, or like a string sound, you'd have to open operator and be like, no, none of these. And then open a different instrument. But now you can go right to sounds and click strings.
I see. Okay.
And all of them come up.
Do you use most of the a lot of the instruments, or
I go back and forth. Ones? I use about half and half.
Like, what are your favorites? Those,
and then I have a synth that I use too.
A physical one,
or
yeah.
A plug-in?
What live instruments do you like the most?
I don't know. I guess I don't love very many of them.
You like operator, though, you mentioned?
Yeah, operator. And I read a book, too. Like, it's really great that you can teach yourself all these things, yeah. But then they're big holes in what I've learned. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to sort of design sounds within operator.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think they're all... I don't know that enough about synthesis, I think, to be able to even say I like one more than the other.
What does that involve? Like, knowing how to do that? Is that like a particular branch of music theory now, or what?
I think so. I mean, it's just about like, it makes my brain hurt. It's like basically each of the different things, like, I wonder if I can even explain this. Operator, if I remember correctly, uses like, yeah, I don't even remember.
What? Fine. Like, doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I know how analog works more than anything. So analog basically has an oscillator, which is a sound generator, and it will make like a particular sound wave, like a sine wave or a saw wave or a square wave, all those different things.
Yeah.
So each of them on their own have a, I know more about this than I thought, have their own sort of distinctive sound.
Yeah.
And then you apply filters. So that's subtractive synthesis, where you start with like a full sound and then you start applying filters and I don't know what else, noise and whatnot to it to mm-hmm. change the way that sounds. So that's subtractive. So that's what analog does. And I think operator uses additive synthesis, where you start with no sound and you start layering different things on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much to learn about all of that stuff. And then sampling is when you take like a recording of the sound, the actual sound itself, you know, like the sound.
Yeah, sampling I understand. I find the idea of synthesis much more complicated, because I've messed around with it and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, of course, and I just end up with retarded sounds.
Yeah.
Do you use any of the like templates and then modify them, or how do you do it?
With the templates, meaning like pre-designed sounds?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff? Yeah, I do. Like, I'm trying to think of some things that I've used. I like pad sounds, and they have a lot of Ableton sounds are super, I don't know what the word is for it. They're very, like, unusual in a similar way. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not a huge fan of a bunch of them. But I like mallet sounds, like xylophones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that analog, actually, instrument has a lot of cool, like, retro-y feeling analog patches.
I have one now. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like that new Daft Punk album?
I really do like it. What do you think of it?
I absolutely love it. And with the first time I listened to it, I thought, oh my God, this is going to be just garbage. And plus, I found out that it was like the most popular album of the year already. I'm like, ugh, it's all
right. Yeah, when I hate it immediately, right?
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's interesting. People have really strong reactions to it.
I only saw one negative reaction, but then again, you know, I'm limited to my scope of friends, and he said it sounded like 1970s porn or 80s porn music, which I thought was funny.
But yeah, I think that's what I like about it.
What negative stuff have you heard?
I think a lot of really hardcore electronic music people. There's one guy that I follow on the Google's Plus mm-hmm. who is like because a lot of those Ableton people are really into electronic music too.
Yeah.
So they are kind of pissed at Daft Punk for making such a non-electronic sounding album.
I think it sounds very electronic. What do they mean?
Go ahead.
No, I was just what do they mean?
Well, I mean, because there are real guitars being played and there's strings, like there's full orchestration on it in places. I think they want that.
That's stupid.
That gross dance music that all sounds the same.
Oh, like trance and techno.
Yeah.
There's something you, in other words, they don't want to compete with people that actually have musicians. They want to be able to do it all in their basement by themselves.
Which is like its own thing, and it's its own art form, and there's so much to it. But
I've always liked the idea of, I've always thought that that's where it's evolving to. It would eventually evolve into like something like an orchestra where it's electronically, you know, like where there was a, I can envision like a conductor at a dance club, for example, you know, working with all these, you know, different people controlling, you know, whether they're electronic or analog instruments and computers to make, you know, one, sound together, I guess, like a symphony.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, because, I mean, why can't classical music should, I think, evolve to that? And that's what I really liked about the Daft Punk album. It felt to me like a real evolution in the genre, I guess. Like, it really felt like something had made a big leap where everything was leading to. Because I don't know why, it's just like the sound is so comfortable for me.
Yeah.
It's very comfortable, but... And it's electronic, but it's not electronic for its own sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like it has sort of a concept behind the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know, like, when they use they have a lot of the, it sounds like robotized voice. Are those completely synthesized, or are those just voices with vocoders and that kind of thing? Do you know?
I would guess it's a vocoder, someone singing into a vocoder.
That's what I thought, but I thought, well, wouldn't that be really cool if it wasn't? Like, wouldn't that be cool if that was an actually fully synthesized voice from scratch?
Yeah, that I don't kind know. Of stuff Maybe is interesting. It is.
But that I think it's fascinating. I think it's amazing. I also like how they pay homage to the people that have, you know, that kind of were there from the beginning, like that guy that they have talking in that one track.
Oh, yeah, Giorgio Moroder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Nile Rodgers from Chic is playing guitar on that. Did you know that already?
I think I read that.
Like, that's the beginnings of dance music, right?
And that's what's so intelligent about it, is that they're really incorporating, they're really bringing everything together.
And Paul Williams is singing on it, too. Did you notice that?
Paul Williams, the songwriter?
Yeah.
Really?
He sings on that really... I can't remember the name of the song. Let me look.
It's in a vocoder too, then, right?
It's his actual voice.
Oh, okay.
It's Touch.
Okay.
Track 7.
Touch. God damn it.
Meh, meh.
Somebody I've been trying to ignore just texted me. It's one of these things where it's somebody I don't want to ignore, but I'm ignoring to punish him. You know how that goes?
Oh, yeah.
Up to punishment. So I hate that, because I really want to respond, but I'm not going to, because I made a promise to somebody that I wouldn't, because I'm an idiot.
You should tell Siri to send an auto tweet or an auto text back every time they text, "You're on punishment."
I know. Well, I can't wait for iOS 7 to come out, because it lets you block people and do shit like that automatically.
What do you think of how it looks and everything?
Well, I mean, I don't really care. I had it on my iPad, and then I erased it, and then I had it on my iPad, and I erased it, each different beta version, because the Washington Post app wouldn't work.
Oh,
so
okay.
Until that works, I'm not going to use it, because I can't, like, deal with it crashing. But as far as the look goes, I don't really care. I mean, it kind of hurts my eyes. It looks like the thing when you... turn on the, you know, when you reverse the colors for like blind people or whatever.
Yeah,
it kind of looks like that to me, but I just don't care that much. I thought it's kind of useful in a way, because the colors are so bright that it makes it easier, more intuitive to just pick what you want. Like, I don't like to have to think about, I spend a lot of time like looking at my icons and thinking, where's this, like, where's app. And this way, it seems like with the bright colors, it's kind of more obvious, more like for your muscle memory and shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. What kind of microphone do you use? Just use whatever's available? Or?
Yeah, I usually use a SM58, just because that's what I have.
Yeah.
And then a Singer friend of mine left this microphone I'm using right now over here, because he never uses it. It's a condenser mic.
Mm-hmm.
MXL?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always have mic envy when I hear you speaking on your show.
My mic is just, it's a standard RE27, but it's, which is like the standard Electro Voice one. But it, but I use a, I use this really huge pre-Sonus compressor equalizer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the equalizer is bypassed. The compressor is not. If, I'll turn off the compressor so you can see what it sounds like, if it makes any difference. This is without. Oh, wait. No, that's wrong. Yeah, okay, so now I'm talking. This is without. It's hardly even a difference, is it? Huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's on.
Is this
it does help because when you move around, it makes a lot more. Like now it's on, and if I'm moving around and it's not as noticeable, but now if I do it, see how noticeable it is when I move around?
Yeah.
That's why the compressor is particularly useful, because it makes a lot more balance, and I tend to move around a lot when I talk. But it also, I like what it does. But I can't really, if I use this microphone without the preamp, the pre-Sonus thing, it's I don't like it at all. I'd rather use the lavalier for that.
Oh, interesting. I probably need to get, like, the little microbook has a built-in preamp.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe having like a solid preamp will help.
What would be nice for somebody like you is one of those tube preamps. Because those seem to have a much nicer sound. Like, just get a tube preamp for your mic. Just like one channel. Yeah. That would be cool. Because the tube sound is just so much cooler, I think.
It's the money thing.
Of course it is. Yeah. Well, see, I bought all this stuff like when I was doing pod show work, or I knew I was getting it, so I just spent all this money on stuff, and now I'm like, God, I'm glad I did that, because I sure as hell can't afford it now. And the nice thing about audio equipment is it lasts, not like video equipment, or not even video equipment doesn't last as long, but computer equipment is, you know, just is good for like 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
And this audio equipment, I mean, it's just as good as it was, God, when I got it, you know, 8 years ago. It still works fine. So, Well, that's interesting. So, okay, well, we got a lot discussed.
Yeah. I love talking about this stuff. Yeah. I crave it. Okay. Like, there's no one I know really that likes talking about this.
Well, maybe we can do it regularly and bring in other people too, because it's a good discussion to have, and people love to listen to technical stuff more than they like me talking about my vagina and whatnot. You know, I actually went to the Ableton headquarters once.
Oh, you did?
Like 2006, yeah, because Tim, that friend I was talking about, took me there. It was very interesting.
I would love to go there.
Yeah, you could, probably. But it's in Berlin,
one
of
my
course.
Friends is doing tattoos there now. In Berlin. That's where Ableton is, right? Berlin? Mm-hmm.
And you know Seven, right? Do you know him?
Oh, yeah. Just recently did we become friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
He was one of those people that I was like, oh, that's one of those famous friends of Madge. I shouldn't friend him, but I did. And now we're just the best of friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he wasn't famous when I met him. He was just a stripper.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But I told him a couple of years ago only, and he's like, oh, I really wish I could do this for a living. I said, well, you absolutely can. You just have to have, complete determination and know that you want to do it.
And, yeah, I think that's true too.
Yeah, he did. My thing now is going back into the computer field. What I'm realizing is, because I really started probably about since the time I met you, which was on LiveJournal. That's about the same time I started doing video work, and it's because Christy, you know, ArtVamp required, or she asked everybody in her film working on her film to create this LiveJournal account. And that's really why I did it and started doing those video journals. But what I found is after doing that for now since 2000, so for 13 years, what I'm realizing is that I really like the computer stuff. Like I find myself when I work on, say, video, I always find myself fiddling with the computer more than the video. Like I actually enjoy the computer itself more than the video work. I do enjoy audio very much, and I always have. And I started, doing DJing in high school and that sort of thing. But I never really felt like I was very good at video. And I don't find it challenging. So now that I've gotten into this computing field again, I realize like how incredibly stimulating it is, and it satisfies my curiosity in a way that the more like verbal parts of my brain don't. Like creativity is a totally different, I don't know, it's a totally different groove thing. Like it's wonderful. Creativity is wonderful, but it's a totally different kind of stimulation for me.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I feel like the analytical side, that really is more meditative for me. And the verbal side or the creative side is more just like keeps me fucked up. That doesn't make sense, but I don't know. But you know, a lot of great scientists were musicians, like if not most, like Einstein, and you know, a lot. It's very common for like mathematical people to also be musical, which I find interesting. Though I don't consider myself musical, but I love audio because it requires the creation of the theater of the mind.
And you're like, you seem to be affected by music in a what's the word I'm looking for? Passionate, isn't it? But in a very like
profound,
visceral, yeah, profound way.
Well, isn't everyone though?
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, like my sister is 0% affected by music.
Interesting. See, yeah. I used to tell them, I remember when I was completely whacked out on drugs in the 90s, and my parents came to visit me in Amsterdam in this crazy apartment where I had written all over the walls, literally.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my dad asked me, you know, they're in this, it was an insane situation. But, you know, my dad asked me, could you turn the music down, please? Because I was playing like Philip Glass Einstein on the beach, like full volume all the time while I was drinking.
Which is perfect for a drug
mushroom band. Tea. Yeah. And he kept telling me to turn it out. I said, music is the voice of my soul, and I will not shut off my soul for you. And he's just like, you are fucking nuts.
Duly noted.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I would say it's youth, but I wasn't even youthful at that. I was already in my 30s. You know, I'm a very slow, or late bloomer, I guess.
Depending on what the blooming is, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, well, that's good. I'm going to play your song at the end, your single Go. Is that a single like that's going to be an album or what?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just was like wanted to put something out. And you know, what is that guy's name? I wish I didn't have such a shitty memory. Lefsitz? Bob Lefsitz? Is that his name?
And who is he? What does he do?
He used to be in the music industry, and I don't even know what his whole history is, but he writes this great blog about like music, mostly about music. It's the Lefsitz Letter. Let me see if I can find it.
Sounds very Jewish.
Yeah. Is this right? Yeah. And I really like what he says. He talks a lot about artists who are complaining about, you know, well, no one's buying music anymore. He's like, that's right. They're not. So what are you going to do now? Like, yeah. Figure it out. Like, make something really good so people are going to want to give you money. Like, one of the things that he talks about a lot is that albums are not, people are not buying albums. And he's right.
Right. True.
So I'm just going to release singles for now. And then, I mean, at some point, maybe a year or so, I might, like, try to release an album. Okay. Or maybe, like, a EP of things from the show. The thing that's hard is, like, the stuff in the show is so disparate. I don't know if that's the right word, but like I can't imagine people wanting to buy a recording of me telling a story.
Why not?
Music. I don't know. It just seems weird. It doesn't feel like a song, but it's I guess Laurie Anderson does that.
Yeah.
People buy her stuff.
I mean, it may not be the most, I mean, I know I would like it, but I'm weird. But like I love to go to the record store and buy like children's fairy tales. Like, I have like The Little Prince read by Richard Burton. I've got the story about the elephant and the nose and how the nose got big and how the giraffe got its long neck, all those stories, and they're red and Peter and the Wolf. I love stuff like that. And I also like album art, album rock kind of albums with themes. Like I agree with what this left gets, according to you, says about pop music in general, where you hear a bunch of songs that don't even match. They're just together because they're from the same artist, which is most pop. But when it, like Dark Side of the Moon or something, where it all flows together, that's definitely useful. Or storytelling or anything else, where it's album because it's basically a long form of music, like classical music or opera or anything like that.
Yeah, I think the thing that he says that makes sense to me is releasing an album just because that's what people do or did.
Yeah.
Isn't enough of a reason to make a whole album.
Well, I would agree, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being on this pogrom.
Yeah, sure. And, thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time, maybe on a more serious show, like when Cheryl is on, we can call some abortion hotlines.
That would be fun.
All right. Thanks. I'll see you later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So now I'm finna play Michael Herron's song called Go On. Unfortunately, I didn't delete it from my grum hole. Here it is.
A separate page is the same page with a different point of view. Isn't this the reason for what we're going through? We live a little and love some more, and then we die. Here we are again, love. What am I? What am I? Summer into autumn. Well, you know how that goes. In between we find a dream and find out letting go. The seasons that enclose us and the seasons outside those, they remain a mystery in spite of what we know, in spite of what we think we know. Go wrap yourself in sage and smoke. Go, you'll soar above the magpies and the oak. Go, 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 go. I'll keep you in my winter, my summer and my spring. Stay here and remember when you were here with me. I'll live a little and love some more, and then I'll die. Here we are again, love. What am I? What am I? Go wrap yourself in ether, sage and smoke.
I still have little glitches. 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 I still have little glitches.